Okay, so that's with bacon, cheese, lettuce, tomato, grilled onions, ketchup, and hold the pickles.
You know what you like. You wouldn't order your burger just any way. Why should your sports talk be any different? With Chapters on the free Odyssey app, you can choose the topics that matter to you most. Whether it's reactions, matchup previews, injury updates, or team news, quickly find what you really care about. Your football talk, your way. Download the free Odyssey app and start listening today.
Washington, D.C. Acknowledge me.
Chris Russell on the Team 980.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
From 37 to send Washington to the final eight.
My home team, my loyalty. I'm at Uptown Royalty.
The Washington Commanders off the upright. And it is in. They fight their way to the divisional round. Unbelievable.
We fight for all DC. Who are we? I speak facts, facts. I'm not making riddles. The Hawks open big old holes for John Riggles. Chantella's on the team, and you knew that he was smashing. Daryl Green is on the team, and you know nobody's faster. Thought you was gonna score, but I knew that he would catch her. And Doug Williams was the first black quarterback.
D-Day's got his left hand up. Matty Ice had his left hand up. There's only one big question for you. Do you have your left hand up? Mike Tirico on the call. NBC. The Commanders, baby, are heading to Motown on a Motown playoff victory Monday right here. On the radio show, Graham. Good to have you with us. So, baby. Yeah, put your left hand up. Put your right hand up. Put your left foot in. Shake it all about. Do the hokey pokey. The Commanders have won their first playoff game since 2006. Good afternoon, everybody. It's been an excruciatingly long 18 years. But finally, you're in the win column. Finally, you can beat your chest around the water cooler. Finally, finally. Not the Rock. The Commanders are back. And they took Tampa by storm. 23-20, the final score last night. As you know, Zane Gonzalez, as you heard, with the walk-off winner. Stoink! And somehow, some way, as they have for much of the year, the good karma / football gods shining on the Washington Commanders. A team that was kicked in the nuts so many times by themselves for so many years and by others, but mostly by themselves, has had the most incredible streak of good fortune. And before you go and say, oh, wait a second, he's chalking it up to all luck and not how good we are and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. No. Every good team, every great team, see the Kansas City Chiefs, see the Capitals when they won a Stanley Cup in 2018. See the Nationals when Howie Kendrick's opposite field seventh inning home run to break a 2-2 tie goes doink off the fair pole, not the foul pole, the fair pole in Houston. Every good team, every great team, every championship team needs good fortune, needs luck. So, yes, we can all be responsible adults and say, they're a fortunate team right now. They're blessed. They're in some ways lucky. Many ways, maybe. They're also very good. a 13th win last night. And I will, and put, instead of putting my left hand back up, I'll put my right hand up. And yes, I used deodorant this morning. Smart idea. Took a shower as well. I'll put my right hand up and say, I was wrong on my game prediction. I thought the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would win by a field goal. I was correct in the way that many of you judge things based on the bet or the pick or the prediction with the number. The Commanders obviously not only covered, but they won outright. So I was correct partially. I was wrong partially.
Your bet was right. Your thought was wrong.
Yeah. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, honestly, if they don't throw up all over themselves a couple of times, probably don't lose that game. The Commanders pounced when they had to. And the Commanders did not everything right, but enough right to get just enough. In a lower scoring game than anybody would have thought, including myself, I thought 30-27, 33-30. Lack of possessions, long drives, a 17-play, 92-yard, 9-minute and 8-second touchdown drive for the Commanders, spanning the first quarter into the second quarter and ending in De'Ami Brown's hands from Jaden Daniels to give the Commanders a 7-3 lead. We should have known then, did not know if it would hold up, that game, and I would be willing to bet, the Commanders, who had 8 total possessions, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who had 7 total possessions, I'd be willing to bet that 15 total possessions in a playoff game is maybe not a record, but it's pretty damn close. Pretty damn close. Absolutely incredible how that game script played out. And we're here to talk about it with you at 301-230-0980. Now, I see the lines already lighting up. Maddie will get you screened in if you are good. We'll get you aboard. We ask you and beg you to be as quick as possible. I will try and trim up my thoughts as much as possible. We have, obviously, the week. They're heading to Detroit. It is a Motown Monday. We do Motown Monday each and every Monday. It just so happens that literally they are heading to Motown this Friday for a divisional playoff game against the high-powered 15-win, one-seed Detroit Lions. So now here we are, and we say, well, how did it happen? And obviously, when you start to put this game into crystallization form, if you will, it's because Zane Gonzalez doinks one off the somewhat inner portion of the right upright, as opposed to maybe hitting it absolutely square on or on a flipping diagonal, if you will, or doesn't hit it on the right side, and it trickles away. And could you imagine what the storyline would have been if Zane Gonzalez missed a 37-yard field goal with the game on his foot, and they lost? Now, they wouldn't have lost right then and there, but what if they lost in overtime? Could have happened. Could you imagine what the storyline would be? But here's the good news, boys and girls. Don't have to worry about that. They won. Don't have to worry about that. Well, I mean, you should worry about it, but you don't have to worry that they're not going to win, because they did. And obviously, you start with, in totality, Jaden Daniels. 24 of 35, 268, 2 touchdowns, no picks, no fumbles, no turnovers as a team. 13 carries, 36 yards, only a long of 8. But let me tell you, that 3rd-and-2 scramble with his towel being ripped and basically wrapped up behind the line of scrimmage, trying desperately to get away towards the sideline, and then not only gets away, but has the football IQ and mentality to turn it upfield, knowing that he needs a first down so that, yes, A, they can get a couple more yards, B, so that it's not a, I don't know, 45-yard field goal, whatever it would have been, for Zane Gonzalez instead of a 37-yard field goal. That right there, that one play, amongst all the other plays, is the stuff of legends. That's why he's the man. That's why he's the dude. That's why he's him. Jaden Daniels, on 3rd and 2 from the Tampa 19, again, gets 4 yards, but was 7 yards behind the line of scrimmage at one point. So if he gets taken down and the Tampa defender, who had been causing all sorts of problems all night long, not Yaya Diaby, Clancy, if he takes Jaden Daniels down for a loss at the point where he grabs his towel, that's not only ball and first down at the Tampa 15, which is where Jaden Daniels got it, but that's a 6-7 yard loss. So we're looking at the ball at the 25 or 26. And now we're talking about, again, instead of ultimately a 37-yard field goal, we're talking about a 43, 44-yarder. And the reason why it was even a 37-yard field goal, which was way too far for my liking, is because somehow, someway, Jaden Daniels on the kneel down, after they got the first down, lost 4 yards. I don't know how they lost 4 yards, but they lost 4 yards. And Zane Gonzalez had to kick a 37-yarder instead of a 33-yarder. And even that would have been heart in your throat. But think about that. Think about that. If that first down does not happen, if Jaden Daniels doesn't break free, and not just runs out of bounds because, hey, I made a play, I didn't get sacked, yay, but turns north and gets the first down and gets 4 yards and essentially closes a window of 11 yards on the play. If he doesn't do that, what happens to that kick? Maybe it goes off the wrong side of the upright. Maybe it goes wide right. Maybe, just maybe. Jaden Daniels, for everything that you want to say about him throughout the game, and there's a lot to say, that one play, 3rd and 2 from the Tampa 19 for plus 4 yards, because of the way it developed and what could have happened, what didn't happen, what almost happened, might be. Now, it will not draw the same highlights as the Terry McLaurin bomb on Monday Night Football in Week 3, as the Hail Mary in Week 7 against the Bears. It will not draw the game winner against the Eagles, the overtime strike to get them into the playoffs, to Ertz. But that's a top 5 play on the year. That play might be even more important than what preceded it, which was a 4th and goal touchdown to Terry McLaurin. That play. Because think about it. Not only is it a superhuman effort, but it also was needed. Because again, if he doesn't close that gap of the 7 yards that he was back behind the line of scrimmage on the scramble, and still get 4 positive yards on top of that, so a window of 11 yards, Zane Gonzalez's field goal probably goes off the wrong side of the upright. Or maybe It goes wide of the upright. We don't know. We'll never truly know. But if that doesn't happen, that makes that instantly a top five play on the year. That's how important that was. That's how superhuman it was. And again, that's preceded by the absolute dart that Jaden Daniels throws on fourth and two from the Tampa five to Terry McLaurin. After the turnover on the botched snap handoff, Baker Mayfield, Jalen McMillan, the Commanders, who had just previously gone for it from first and goal at the one and went four straight plays and went and NFL officiating at somehow, they always find a way to miss the most obvious blown call. They missed one terribly, right in clear view on Zach Ertz at the goal line or just south of the goal line. But nevertheless, the Commanders went out from first and goal and got nothing. And then they get the fortunate break on the turnover. What they have been aching for all game, what they have needed more of all year. Baker Mayfield, Jalen McMillan fumble at the 12-yard line or thereabouts, touched, recovered by Bobby Wagner at the Tampa Bay 13. Jaden up the middle, no gain on first down. A short pass to De'Ami Brown inside the 10 for 4 yards. Another short pass to Austin Ekeler on third and six for four, setting up the fourth and two, and then Jaden connects. And Terry McLaurin's there. And we're going to talk about all of it, but those two plays symbolize everything that win was about. And really, three plays, because if you take the Bobby Wagner turnover, which sets that up, but those two offensive plays, the fourth and two touchdown to McLaurin, and the third and third and two scramble by Jaden late, symbolizes everything. Everything. And listen, here's another thing. I know some of you are annoyed that Dan Campbell... I knew I was going to do that.
It was only a matter of time.
Dan Campbell Jr. Dan Quinn, DQ, who had onions, Vidalia onions, baby, and grapefruits. Sweet Florida grapefruits all night long and for a large part of the year. And he put them both on the damn table and he said, I'll show you, Todd Bowles. You want aggressive? I'll show you an offensive blitz, you. I'll show you. And Dan Quinn, despite being denied twice already on fourth down and once on the previous drive, moments before, in which they got no points and didn't close a 17-13 gap, Dan Quinn says,
bring gas.
Bleep it. I'm going for it again on fourth and two from the Tampa five. Think about the stones that your head coach had to have.
Sure. Now,
we're killing him if that doesn't go down the way it does, right? If they fall short for a second drive on fourth and goal, people are beside themselves. Why did he keep turning away points? Why? Made it 20-17. The field goal would have only made it 17-16 in either scenario. Remember that. Would not have tied the game. Would not have given them the lead. Would have only made it 17-16. And my guess is, without knowing, because I didn't listen to Dan Quinn after the game last night, I don't need to. I don't care. My guess is because it wouldn't have tied up the game or it wouldn't have given them the lead, he thought he had to go for it. And he thought, if I bypass the opportunity to get a touchdown here, even though the last one didn't work, it should have worked, right? They should have had a holding or a defensive pass interference, should have been first and goal at the one. It wasn't because NFL officiating sucks and is dumb, blind, and stupid. I'm going to go for it because if I get it, it's going to give me the lead. And I'm going to put the pressure right back on them. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. There's so much more to come. There's so much more that we'll get to, but we'll do it with you on the phones. That's my opening thoughts. The two biggest plays, really the three biggest plays, but the two biggest plays on offense. The legend of Jaden, the stones, the grapefruits, and the Vidalia onions of Dan Quinn. And the Commanders are heading to Motown. And we are with you on a playoff victory, Motown Monday, right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Daniels, throwing end zone, touchdown! Washington takes the lead with Terry McLaurin.
Mike Tirico, NBC, on the call, Terry McLaurin. With another touchdown, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, on again, fourth down. The Commanders win 23-20. They do not win without being as aggressive and what some of you might say, reckless, on fourth down, period. They were 3 of 5, including that touchdown. And if you think about it, one of the failures, one of the two failures, shouldn't have been a failure. The other one should have been. That was pressure off the left side of the offense. Brandon Coleman got destroyed. And Jaden Daniels got lit up pretty good. And he, well, lit up pretty good is strong. There was a lot of pressure. And he felt it, and he knew it, and he torpedoed a ball into the ground. But really, if you want to look at it, one true failure on fourth down. The numbers will tell you, too. NFL officiating, once again, completely and totally blind. There was another call. Well, I mean, still nobody understands how the Eagles got the ball on the opening kickoff after the fumble by Green Bay. And then there was a call in the Buffalo-Denver game that I was bitching about, and I can't even remember what the sequence was. I have to look it up. Just another terrible, 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 awful, awful, disgusting, embarrassing, inexcusable day for the obvious blown calls. Again, everybody's going to miss the not so obvious. You can sit here and debate from till the cows come home. And many of you were mad at me because I didn't think it was offensive pass interference on Mike Evans last night before the touchdown at the end of the first half. We can debate about that forever and ever and ever and ever. You could flip a coin, what have you. The bottom line is you could not on the Zach Ertz miss. You could not. On the Zach Ertz miss. All right, let's get to a quick call or two here before we go to the bottom of the hour trending alert, and then it's all calls from here on out. Let's get to our guy Jason and Laurel in the leadoff spot. Jason, how are you, pal?
The reason I love your show, it's not a normal talk radio show. You are a little different. You hit different takes, and I think that's why you and I have some synergy.
Yes, sir.
So I want to give you one.
And everyone, I appreciate you recognize. See, I know you're a good guy, but I appreciate you recognizing that.
No, I appreciate you, sir. Everyone's beating up the defense. Everybody needs to calm that noise down. First of all, that may have been the defense's best effort this year. This is a top three offense, Tampa Bay's offense, and they held them to 20 points. They made them punt a couple times. Mm-hmm. That's all we need them to do. And I tell you this, guys, if we make Detroit punt twice and get a turnover from Detroit, we can win that game. This defense did what it needed to do. And I think Dan Quinn taking those fourth goals, take going forward. He's not just saying, Jaden, I believe in you. He's telling the defense, hey, because if you look at that reaction when they didn't get that first down, and then when they immediately defense went out there, he was fired up. He was saying, go get it, go get it, go get it. And what did Bobby Wagner do? Get him the ball.
Yep.
This team, they believe in each other. The coach believes in all phases of it. And they do have some issues. I mean, you know, that offensive tackle for us last night, he got beat like a drum.
He did.
But he kept trying. I mean, I honestly think you got Beatus and Cosby, and I think the rest of them, you know, we need to find some stuff. But they believe in each other. They're putting together with guts, good coaching, and we have him. And if you have him, you have a chance. We got a chance next week.
You got a chance.
Rooster, I'm not saying we're going to win, but we got a chance.
We'll worry about the numbers and the actual legitimacy of the chance and all that stuff starting tomorrow. But today is about last night, and no doubt about it. Great way to get us started. Thank you, Jason. As always, appreciate you. And, yeah, I mean, listen, I'm not telling you I'm trying to reinvent the wheel here. And a lot of you don't like my style. The bottom line is they're going to give you something you ain't going to hear anywhere else. You know? And again, just talking about that 11-yard window that Jaden Daniels closed from the furthest most point back when he eludes Clancy to where he winds up, that 11 yards, in almost in every reasonable certainty, allows Zane Gonzalez to go stoink off the field goal post and for it to go one way as opposed to the other way. 301-230-0980. Tell you what, we'll take a quick timeout, very quick, for the trending alert, and then all of your calls are coming up. I promise I will stop ranting and raving. I said mostly what I wanted to say about the end of the game. I'll work in all my other thoughts with you on the phones. We'll get to you at 301-230-0980 straight ahead right here on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we begin with NFC East breaking news. Mike McCarthy is not coming back as the Cowboys head coach. First reported by NFL Network, since confirmed by Schefter of ESPN, he is not returning. Even though his contract expired last week, the team had an exclusive negotiating window until tomorrow night at midnight. The sides could not get together on a new deal, according to the reports. Now, McCarthy, the Chicago Bears had wanted to speak with him last week and were denied, so it would stand to reason that the Chicago Bears would still like to talk to him as well, perhaps the New Orleans Saints and others. Those two teams, specifically Chicago and New Orleans, want to talk to Cliff Kingsbury, the offensive coordinator who was genius last night, along with Jaden Daniels and Dan Quinn, as we just talked about, in a Commanders playoff win. Now, as far as the other division team, the Philadelphia Eagles, they won last night over Green Bay. They're hosting the winner of tonight's Monday night wild card weekend game between the Rams and the Vikings, but they're going to be without N'Kobe Dean, their star linebacker, for the rest of the playoffs and perhaps into next year. He's believed to have tore his patella and is out again for the playoffs and for possibly part of next year. We mentioned the Monday night playoff game. It is the Minnesota Vikings. It is the Los Angeles Rams, and it is in Glendale, Arizona, for the last and final spot in the final eight of the NFL playoffs. And again, the winner of that game going on to Philadelphia next Sunday afternoon. And that's what's trending. Oh, Motel Monday sings even sweeter on a Monday after a first playoff victory in 18 years. And when you're heading to Motown, that's right, Detroit Rock City, baby, Saturday night, 8 o'clock. You know the deal. Commanders and the one seed, the Detroit Lions. Little Jackson 5 for you. Never a bad thing, even when you're not heading to Motown. But the Commanders are. The Commanders are. And many of you might be. Now, ticket prices I've seen are outrageous. Flights suck already. I don't know. I might be driving. I have no idea. I got to figure this out. By the way, tonight after Terps basketball, which starts at 6, following Craig against Minnesota, will join that final wild card weekend round in progress right around 9 o'clock, give or take, between Minnesota and the Rams. Because that game, you know, of course, with the horrible wildfires and all that, it just, you know, What can you do? It's in Glendale, Arizona. I mean, whether it was in Los Angeles or not, it would start at the same time. But that game's going to be played in Glendale, Arizona. They're trying everything they can to make it look like a Rams home game. I don't care about any of that stuff. But you can catch it here right around give or take 9 o'clock. That's because with Maryland basketball here, the Wizards are hosting the Timberwolves tonight. After the Wizards got beat by like 40,000 points last night. But nevertheless, that game on 106.7 The Fan over at 6:45, and they'll join the Rams-Vikings way, way, way late, probably for the second half-ish, somewhere in that range. So, again, that's how you can listen to the Vikings and the Rams tonight. Meanwhile, we'll concern ourselves with the Commanders. Let's get right back to the calls. And we'll talk to you at 301-230-0980. Let's get to Pete in Wilmington, North Carolina, next up on the Odyssey app. What up, Pete? How are you?
I'm doing great. And you know what? I love your style. It's fantastic.
Thank you, Pete. I appreciate you.
Great radio. I got a couple things. You know, first off, this whole situation with the Commanders and Jaden is the top sports story in 2024 and 2025 of any. I mean, this turnaround is unbelievable. Unheard of. The numbers, the records is just unbelievable that the quarterback has put up and the whole coaching staff and everything. Fantastic job. Story of the year. Number two, I was talking about the running game. Everybody, you know, is on down on the defense. You know, this defense is underrated. I've said that for the last 6 weeks. You know, when John Allen came back, the defense did pretty good in the first half. Once Payne got hurt, it suffered. He came back.
Yep.
You know, they did a good job.
Yep.
And another thing is here.
And give Payne credit for coming back in that game because he missed some time and it looked not great. And I don't know what his status is moving forward. I don't know if it's a broken hand. I don't know if it was just spiked. I don't know exactly. But the bottom line is give him some credit.
Yes, absolutely. And the balls that you're talking about for this coaching staff is unbelievable. And that's the style. That's who we are. That's who the Commanders are. The coach, it's just a great thing. It's confidence. It's beautiful and refreshing to see in sports. The referees are absolutely pathetic. One more thing. Why not us?
Go ahead,
Pete. Why not the Commanders? Why not the Commanders?
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a fair question.
We could win it.
That's a fair question.
Why not?
I appreciate you as always. Thank you, Pete. Thank you for listening and calling in the nice words. 301-230-0980. Let's get to Chuck in South Carolina listening also on the Odyssey app. Chuck, how are you?
Hell yeah.
There you go.
The Redskins.
There you go, baby.
Uh-huh. I ain't going to say what I said Friday. I apologize. You don't look like no fool today.
Well, I was wrong. I was wrong ultimately on my game pick. But I was right in that they would keep it close and have a chance. And the bet that I made, and I made a couple of bets that I lost a lot of them over the weekend, but that was one that I won. So here's the bottom line.
Yes,
listen, emotion, you know, you play this sport, you talk about this sport with emotion, and they don't win that game. Even as cool as a cucumber as Jaden is, even as non-moved as he was when that field goal went through, if you saw that close-up on the sideline, whatever.
Yeah.
There is so much emotion built up in all of these guys, and somehow, some way, they were able to keep their poise for the most part last night. It wasn't perfect, obviously a couple of penalties, but I think they were penalty-free in the first half. I think they controlled the football without really being able to run it effectively, and on top of that, as usual, when they had to have the biggest amount of poise, they had the biggest amount of poise.
Well, I'm going to say this. And like I said Friday, I said we were going to win this game because we play team football and because we have something they don't have, Jaden Daniels. And I'm going to say this also, you know, I like our team, but I like what you said about the officiating, but I like the aggressiveness of our coaches because they miss, because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't think Dan Quinn was going to kick any field goals on last night, to be honest with you. Right before halftime, when he threw that deep ball to Terry got It was a pass interference, and they missed that call on number 27, and then we had to settle for a field goal. That kind of made me upset, even though I watched the whole game. The way JD played, that's the way I watched the game.
Mm-hmm.
Cool, calm, and collected. I was never worried because I knew we was going to win that game the whole time because the way my coached, I was like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. When you knew – when he took over at 4:40 left, right, and that's an enormous amount of time, and only needing three, the only question was not was they – were they going to get some points – but were they going to be able to kill the and control the entire clock? And they did both. Now, I wouldn't personally, me, I would not have trusted Zane Gonzalez, with any level of faith. I didn't. You turned out to be right, barely. And I don't know what you should. I don't know what they should have done in that spot, but I would not have trusted them. Okay. The bottom line is, it worked out for them, and they got the points they needed. Of course, to win the game, and they killed the entire clock. It was a masterclass, an absolute clinic. And Chuck, thank you. I appreciate it. An absolute clinic in time management, game strategy, and execution, even though they barely got the field goal to go. Again, taking every second off the clock, masterful. I mean, Dan Quinn... and to a different degree, but to a large degree, Cliff Kingsbury and Joe Witt. But those guys coached their asses off last night. And you know me, I'm not a coach guy first. I'm a player guy. Always have been, always will. Players control 80-85% of the game. But they coached their asses off last night. 301-230-0980. Let's get to Jeremy in Baltimore next up. Jeremy, how are you?
How are you doing?
All right, good,
I'm doing
Jeremy.
Fantastic. As I've said before, as the quality of our play rises on the field, so too should the quality of our calls. So I'm going to do my best to raise the level for all of those listening to the DMV. I'm going to end the debate. I'm going to end the debate right now for MVP. It's not Josh Allen. It is not Lamar Jackson. There is no player in the NFL today more valuable than Jaden Daniels to his team and to his franchise. You remove Jaden from Washington, we are nothing. Nothing. I was nervous once yesterday when Lavonte David chased down Jaden on a third down or second down on a run that he always outruns the linebackers. I said, damn. This might be something today. And then you know what? Jaden started to pick them apart. He is a genius, this man. Not only that, then Tampa starts taking cheap shots at Jaden. His foot was out of bounds. They bloody our guy. What does Jaden do? He laughs. He doesn't care. This man is so poised, so calm, so collected. He will pick you apart. You want to tell me we don't have a chance in Detroit against Jared Goff? Are you kidding me? He is going to shred Detroit apart without a healthy defense. We may give up 28, we may give up 35. There is zero doubt in my mind, zero, that we will win the game next week. I have friends, I live outside Baltimore, that claim to be Ravens fans, do you understand, that are flying to Detroit to watch the Commanders win. I will leave it at that. It is it to be a Commanders fan right now. It is it. Let's go. Hail.
Excellent call, Jeremy. Well done. I mean, I can't give him the MVP. That's me. And I think there's no way he's going to win it because of Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson and Saquon Barkley. But he would be third or fourth, depending on your perspective. And listen, surgical precision. Once again last night, my heart was in my throat. The low hit below his knees that they did call a personal foul on, the hit along the sideline. I mean, he's getting crumpled up in a couple of these games, a couple of times a game. It's hard for me to sit here and just be totally optimistic that it's all going to be okay all the time, every time. I have no choice, but it's hard for me to be completely optimistic about that. But somehow, some way, not only is he resilient as bleep, but he will carve you the hell up if you give him a sliver. If you give him a sliver, he will carve you up like a turkey. 301-230-0980. More of your calls, more of your reaction. Got a couple of open lines. We'll get to Paulie straight out of the chute here next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, Dwayne brings up an interesting point that I didn't think of. You got to give credit to special teams coaching staff, Larry Izzo and company, to make sure that Daniels moved the ball way over on the hash. They must have known Gonzalez was hooking right, and that spot would make him the most comfortable dealing with that amount of OCD. Did not think about that 1 second. Very possible. I didn't even know about the OCD somehow. I forgot about that. I know Kevin was talking about that a lot this morning.
I'll be honest.
Remember that whole thing.
I just thought he
was struggling because he, you know, got banged up and because he got into a bad rut.
I remembered that, and I was starting to get a little nervous because the last time the tick was that bad, he missed a field goal that would have given us the win.
Mm-hmm.
So you... if you knew what was coming, you knew that this was going to be a last second, is it going in, is it not? Just because you could tell his quirks were really acting up. I mean, it's difficult to come in and do a radio show just being completely fine. I can't imagine being in a high-stress situation, having your job be that, and having issues with just being able to put your helmet on.
Yeah.
I mean... kudos to
Zane.
That's fair.
I did not think about that at all in any way. I mean, I was just scared to death that he was just going to miss it just because he's not that good.
Well, that too. But, I mean, it just goes to show the moment doesn't ever come above the person.
Interesting. All right, let's get to Paulie and get him in here before the 2 o'clock top of the hour. What up, Paulie?
L to the W, baby. L to the W.
They got a W, Paulie. They got a W.
Hey, despite your negative prediction, I ain't trying to hear none of your negative hypotheticals today, man. What if he got sacked? What if he missed the kick? He did. But look, speaking of his mental problems, bro, did you see him take his shoe off 2 or 3 times and playing with his sock?
No, I'm not studying Zane Gonzalez on the sideline while the game's going on. I don't know how you people see all this stuff.
Because we're watching the game.
I'm watching the game too,
TV.
And I'm taking notes.
What are you talking? Evidently you're not.
I'm taking notes too,
Paulie. That's what he's tweeting, Paulie.
Okay, all right, well, take your little TV off of the big TV and go out and buy your new TV, and you would have seen all that stuff, man. What are you talking about, man?
I mean, hey, if listen, he's man. Picking his nose, are you paying attention to that, too? Come on.
Hey, listen, man. If they're showing it on the TV, I'm watching it. What are you talking about? I wasn't at the game. I was watching it on TV.
All right. Well, yeah, I'm paying
attention.
I'm thinking about things that you're not thinking of. You're worried about, you know, somebody cleaning the wax out of their ears.
You're right. You're thinking about how you can be negative the next day.
Yeah,
anyways,
yeah.
Man, listen. I told you what I said, and I know you thought about it, Russell, when Collinsworth was talking about it. How did I tell you they needed to play Mike Evans? Said if I was them, I wouldn't even put Lattimore on Mike Evans.
Yep.
I would put I'll put another person on him, and I would double team him.
But that was not the whole game. That was part of the game, right? I mean, it was not the whole game, but it was part of the game. Correct.
I didn't say do it the whole game. I said from time to time.
That's a good call by you.
Because I was thinking Lattimore ain't played a lot, number one. Number two, he was too emotionally invested in that game. But somebody ain't played all season, a lot of the season, you know, that was just too much. Anyways, though, hey, man, I'm just feeling good today. I ain't even going to go on to all the breakdown games down, none of that. Man, hell to the W. Look, we off to Detroit. Hey, man. I don't want to hear no more Motown today. That's the enemy, man. Hey, Matty Ice, man, give me some go-go, baby. Give me some Junkyard, man. Give me some Rare. You know what I mean? Let's celebrate us. F Motown, baby. It's about the Commanders. It's about DC, baby. Hell to the W, man. All right. I ain't even going to break that. I told y'all tomorrow, Wednesday, about this game. I'm feeling good. We feeling good. We back, baby. Hail to the W.
All right, Paulie. Thank you. I appreciate you trying not to completely take over the show. Just partially. 157 and change. Team 980, good to have you with us on a Motown. Playoff victory Monday, baby. Don't worry, we have a plan. Don't worry, we have a plan. On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.